This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas, powered by U Mobile.
I'm Wang Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. Now, one of the most successful listings of 2021, Cetos Digital, which had its debut in July last year, has been busy with a series of acquisitions, including controversially becoming the largest shareholder of rating agencies RAM. We asked their newish CEO, Eric Hamburger, who took over in May this year, if these acquisitions are giving the group indigestion problems or is the integration smooth sailing, whilst determining if inorganic growth is still the name of the game for them. Eric, thank you for joining us this morning. Now, let's start with the news that grabbed headlines, which of course was the gradual acquisition of Rating Agency Malaysia, RAM, which is one of the two credit rating agencies in the country. So at last count, correct me if I'm wrong, because it was a gradual bit-by-bit acquisition, it's a 57.7% stake in RAM, which makes it a subsidiary, the last being the purchase from MUFG. So it's not without its detractors, right, this acquisition. So, you know, who argue that this will erode RAM of its much-needed independence. What do you say to them?
Good morning, Xiaoning, and thank you for having me here. I will tell you that we, as a credit rating agency, are very independent, similar to RAM. We actually do not control their operations. We don't define their dividends. Our main interest is to collaborate and help the company grow.
Okay, so, I mean, you did come out to say that, but I'm also curious, you know, because this acquisition did raise eyebrows because of a 20% cap on shareholding, which was introduced under the Securities Commission first guidelines on the registration of credit rating agencies way back in 2011. But the SE has granted Cetos Digital that approval, right, to raise your stake above 51%. Now, what was in that winning pitch to the SE for the exemption to be granted, though?
I think there are a lot of regulations that have been implemented since that provide the security of the independence of the credit rating agencies. Cetos itself is an independent credit rating agency, and we provide a full host of guarantees to the public, to our companies, that we are not interfering, that the process is clear and we follow all the regulations. So I think that has provided the ease for the SC to give us access to buying the majority stakeholder.
Now, I also looked at the SC statement, and one of the things they mentioned was that all necessary efforts, I'm going to quote, are undertaken to drive the growth of the CRA's business. So what are those business initiatives that you are looking at?
So both companies, RAM and Cetos, are built on data and analytics and access to a large amount of customers, especially the SMEs. So when you look at the opportunities in Malaysia around SMEs, the bond rating focus has been on the large corporates, but SMEs is a segment that we believe can grow similar to what has happened in other markets like the U.S. Mm-hmm. And we sit on a ton of data and tremendous amount of information on small and medium enterprises. And so we believe that jointly working with RAM, we can open up this possibility for the small and medium companies in the country.
But the challenge I see is that RAM currently offers a rather bespoke service, right? High touch, involving a team of trained professionals with some subjective element, since there's a lot of analysis coming out and a lot of number crunching. Now, compare that with the core of the service that Cetos provides, very IT, data-driven, low-touch, focusing on retail and SMEs. So how does that work, Eric? Because there doesn't seem to be a convergence here.
Yeah, so this has been done in other markets, like in the U.S. that I mentioned. So it is possible. It's been done. We have the data really available. One of the biggest issues that you have is building that database. So we have the database. We have the relationship with the SMEs. And we have the analytical and the technology capacity to join forces with RAM and do this at scale. So we do believe that by joining forces, we can leverage the expertise on RAM and leverage our capacity and our data to make this happen.
So what do you want to take from RAM, though? Because, you know, there is a, like I say, a subjective element when it comes to their analysis, right? They spend months poring over the cash flow of a company. They talk to management. You can't afford that at Cetos when you're talking about SMEs because, you know, you charge very different fees. So yeah. How is that going to really work?
Right. But you still have about 8,500 companies which are large enough in the SME space that you could provide access. So we give the scale because we bring the data and they have the knowledge on bond rating. So I think we can add a lot of value in speeding up the process that typically would take RAM much more time to access those 8,500 companies.
But it would be a scaled down service, I presume. It wouldn't be at that level of detail then, right? Otherwise, it wouldn't work.
We need it to be at that level of scale, of detail, to be able to provide the security to the market of where they're investing. But the scale comes in with the availability of the data and the access to analytics and technology.
So are you done with this acquisition of RAM? Because SC did give you, and that was given in April 28, right, to
Correct.
Acquire a majority stake in RAM within 6 months, which I counted actually expires on October 27, this Thursday. And the last purchase, like I said, was the 2.1% stake from MUFG. Is that the last? Because you've got 2 days to go.
Yeah,
are you going to acquire any more?
No, that is the last. And I think we have achieved the position we wanted to be in. So we're done for now.
Okay, so since we're on the topic of acquisitions, let's talk about the 49% stake in Juris for $205 million that was announced earlier, late last year actually, and done, completed this year. Now, it's a fintech company that specializes in enterprise-class software solution for banks, FIs, insurance, and telco companies. I mean, what's the synergy here? Explain to me what you've done so far.
Sure. So when you look at CITOS, our purpose is to connect, give access to credit of the consumers and companies through data analytics so they can make better decisions. And when you look at the credit life cycle, we provide all the pieces of information to connect those consumers. So we have digital solutions to do ID, EKYC solutions for digital validation of identity. We provide fraud prevention solutions. We provide credit information, history, scores, et cetera. And we were missing a piece that helps automate that process to make it at scale. So when you're a credit lending facility, when you offer credit, you need to have software that automates both the origination as well as the collections and the management of those loans. That is what JurisTech does in a leading position in Malaysia. And so we believe this is a perfect synergy that brings together data analytics and technology to facilitate that process for our customers and ultimately for the citizens of Malaysia.
But are you worried about the possibility of indigestion when it comes to all these acquisitions? Will culture be an issue? What more when you recently did an acquisition in Thailand, right, with a 24.83% stake for Business Online PLC for Thai Baht, $61.3 million? You know, is that too much to buy at one go?
So this has been happening for over a year, right? And we've defined our roadmap of the different pieces that we were missing to be a leading CRA in ASEAN. And that is our ambition, to really grow beyond Malaysia into the ASEAN region. We're taking a pause right now. There's a lot of work that
nothing left.
For the next 1 to 2 years, we're taking a pause.
Because I'm really curious about your acquisitions in the sense that, you seemed very, well, the strategy was very clear because you did the listing in July. Then you took out a private placement soon after being listed, raising $270 million. And I'm sure shareholders will be not so patient if you went around to them. So is that driven by that? Or is it really because you think that the jigsaw puzzle is complete?
So the jigsaw puzzle is always in development. Mm. So what I'm saying right now is these are the pieces that are available that we need for our current moment in time. We will continue in the future after we have digested and realized the synergies. But right now, what we have, I think, gives us a great position into 2023 and 2024.
So eventually, do you see yourself modeled on something closer like the bigger players, the listed ones, S&P Global or Experian PLC? Or are you a hybrid?
I think we're a hybrid because we really provide an end-to-end credit lifecycle solution.
Okay.
So it would be a blend between the typical bond rating agencies and the pure credit rating agencies. And so our ambition is to expand on those businesses in the ASEAN region, combining both solutions.
So if I look at a hybrid, is then research the missing piece of your jigsaw?
So research comes a lot from RAM. RAM does a lot of this.
Yeah.
When you look at global players like Moody's and S&P's, they do a lot more. 50% of their revenue comes in non-credit activities
yes.
like these,
yes.
which is something that we can help RAM grow into.
Okay, so that would be something you're expanding at RAM, right?
Yes.
Great. But the question I have for you is then, is CTOS buying growth to mask weak organic earnings?
No. If you look at our numbers, our core business is growing a very healthy clip. We are acquiring pieces that will generate additional synergies and give us access to new verticals and new markets. But our core business, the credit rating business mm-hmm. CTOS is looking into, is growing at a very nice clip.
Despite the fact that you already have 70% market share, can you really squeeze
yes.
out more from that?
We are just starting. We're just starting. If you look at the investment done in the industry in Malaysia per capita, it's about 7 ringgit.
Mm.
Compare that to Singapore, it's 42, so 6 times more. And you compare that to UK, a much more developed country, it's 12 times more. So the opportunity for CTOS to grow is just starting.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Eric Hamburger, Group CEO of CTOS Digital Berhad. When we come back from the break, how strong is organic growth and does that justify the expensive valuations of this company? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill. Brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9. Welcome back to the Breakfast Grill. In the hot seat this morning is Eric Hamburger, Group CEO of CTOS Digital Berhad. Before the break, are the acquisitions, including the rather controversial RAM one, going to give this group indigestion? Now, Eric, let's talk about the results and, of course, the core business segments. Now, from second quarter numbers, I think the disappointment was commercial segment, which only saw a 5% improvement on the first half year-on-year basis, which also explained the softer gross profit margins, which declined marginally from 85% to 83% for that quarter. Now, of course, my question is, will the second half be better? Because it does fall short of the guidance of 10% that you gave earlier on this year.
So we had a great first half of the year. When you look at our results for the second quarter, we grew 23% our revenues and 90% our PATAMI. Mm-hmm. So very healthy growth. And this is coming from impressive growth in all of our business units. Commercial had a slow start of the year. We grew 3% year on year on the first quarter, and we accelerated to 7%. We see that trend to continue to accelerate through the year as the economy continues to open up. COVID restrictions have reduced and the economy is picking in general for the SMEs.
Yeah, but I'm just curious because if the economy does slow down, right, and even our caretaker for Finance Minister Tunku Zafrul has warned that 2023, we might see softer growth for Malaysia overall. And the first to be hit are usually the SMEs. So won't this segment come under pressure again? Because, you know, people will be holding back when it comes to spending on things like, you know, like credit assessments, for example.
So we're one of those businesses that are fortunate to be like an umbrella. You need mm-hmm. us when the economy is good, but you also need it when the economy is not that good. So in particular for the SMEs, any credit decision is absolutely fundamental because it can make the difference between, you know, having cash flow or not, or losing money. And so we are a very essential business need for the SMEs, and we believe that that will continue to be the case. We were really hit when the COVID restrictions stopped them from doing business, but that's not the case now.
Okay. What about the other segments? So key accounts, commercial, international, direct to customer. Which one looks most exciting to you and where do you see the biggest growth, the largest jump in earnings?
So we're growing in all the businesses. Key accounts has had a phenomenal year. We believe we grew 40%.
And these are mainly to institutions, right?
These
so
are
the banks and insurance.
Correct. These are the larger financial institutions, insurance companies, telcos, and they're having a phenomenal year. We have launched full host of new digital and analytical solutions that has spurred growth, as I say, 40% for the second quarter, but also direct-to-consumer. So citizens are being more aware of the need to have this information to make better credit decisions. This business has been growing at 50% for the last quarters, and I think that will continue to be the case for the foreseeable future. And then finally, the international reports. As the economy opens up, this is also growing significantly. So in-depth information of Malaysian companies for companies in the in outside.
Okay, I need to talk about, you know, cybersecurity threats. This is something really serious. Of course, the last one was iPay 88, which was ordered by Bank Negara to undertake additional measures to strengthen its payment gateway after a data breach incident. So, you know, clearly happening in the Malaysian scene, not just globally. So how seriously does CTOS Digital take this risk?
Very seriously. We are a data company, and as such, that is our main asset. So we invest heavily on guaranteeing the security of our data assets. We're also very heavily regulated and audited by government authorities like Bank Negara. We have to comply with a lot of additional security to ensure the safety of personal data is very sensitive. And so we take a lot of pride in the efforts and in the investments we've done in that sense.
But how much money do you spend? And I want to get specific here. So revenue for the group was in 2021 was 153 million. How much was of that was spent on cybersecurity? So, a percentage, a figure? Let me know.
So half of our CapEx goes into IT and cybersecurity related investments. And this is, as I mentioned, very serious, both in investments of tools, but also in talent and processes.
But the issue here sometimes it is that it may not even be your system, but one that CTOS relies on, right? So rewind back to September 2021.
Yep.
The CCRIS system was temporarily suspended by Bank Negara. And some background, CCRIS is the Central Credit Reference Information System, which is actually owned and operated by Bank Negara, but you rely on. And it was suspended. So all credit bureaus, including yourself, were denied access to CCRIS, which lasted 1.5 months and resulted revenue loss of about 4 to 5%. So in such circumstances, I mean, there's little that can be done, right?
Yeah, the bank required all of the players to show the cybersecurity strength of their systems. And we underwent a very robust, comprehensive assessment to ensure that we had all the security in place, which we did, and we regained access. And so we continue to do these kinds of assessment periodically and work very closely with Bank Negara to ensure that all the systems are secure.
Yeah, so you can spend the money. You can spend half your capex on security, but you then also then rely on external parties, right? So then how do you ensure that these links are protected? Because that's when the breaches actually happen most of the time.
When you look at the regulation and the processes, they require us to look not only internally, but our connection with customers, our connection with data providers. So this is already part of what we do. And we have monitoring, frequent monitoring that alerts us of any suspicious activity. Just to be clear, CCRIS is one of the data sources, but not the only one. We have many sources of data. And so at any given point in time, we're covered in terms of information from different sources.
Okay, so this is the morning run. We do need to talk about money. And I'm looking at the guidance provided in your second quarter results presentation. So for 2023, you're looking at revenue to hit 275 million ringgit to 290, while profit after tax will range between 95 to 100 million. Now, for profit, that's quite a big jump. That's 23 to 29% increase. So, you know, give us some gauge as to how you're going to achieve this number. What will be the growth drivers specifically here? And how much comes from organic and how much will be driven by the recent acquisitions?
So if you look at our numbers, about 24% of our profitability comes from the acquisitions we've made, but 76% comes from our continuing operations, which have been growing, as I mentioned, very fast. Key accounts continues to be a tremendous growth driver for us at about 40%, as well as direct-to-consumer, which probably will accelerate as we deploy more services into the digital space. Mm. So anywhere from 50 to 60% growth, as well as our international business. So these are growing very fast. Also, commercial is growing. Not as fast as the others, but it's a very solid growth. So we do expect 10% growth for this year, probably accelerating next year as well. So our continuing operations, as we roll out more products on the digital and analytical space, will drive those numbers that you're seeing. Very healthy profitability, which I'm sure you're going to ask, supports our share price and our expectations of growth.
You are right. I'm coming to it. Because the street expects 98 million ringgit. This is Bloomberg consensus numbers for FY23, which translates to a PE of 32 times. Now, I find that expensive when I compare to S&P and Experian, which are both listed offshore. They have multiples of 21 to 22 times for the same time period. So tell me, why should I consider buying CTOS shares?
So we are at the beginning of this journey in not only Malaysia, but the ASEAN region. As I mentioned before, the opportunity for expansion is tremendous. We are growing our portfolio to get to the international standards of where these other companies are. So the opportunity for growth here is a lot bigger than in other more developed nations.
But does the street know something that I don't? Because the share price did peak at 2.06 ringgit in October last year. And as of Friday close, it was 1.34 ringgit.
Yes.
So why the share price declined if the stock is growing phenomenally?
So we are a growth company and we're a digital company. And both sectors have been very hard hit by the volatility in the international market. So if you compare us with companies in the market that are in those spaces, you'll see a similar decline. I would actually say that we have fared a lot better than many of them. And compared to a $1.10, a 1.10 ringgit that we IPO'd, we're still above, and the opportunity for expansion as the market stabilizes will be better.
Yeah, but still below the placement price of 1.63 ringgit. I think that was the last time. Corporate exercise, or is the risk here the possibility of private equity firm Credor, which is the largest shareholder, which owns 30.4%, selling down their shares because they did do so late sometime this year also?
They did, and they've been a great investor. They've helped develop the company, and they have publicly announced that they remain invested for the foreseeable future in the company. So that doesn't seem to be a decision they will make.
So they're not selling any more shares?
Because
they did do a placement when you did your private placement at 1.63 ringgit.
Correct.
So the share overhang, does it still exist with Credor? Because private equity firms always want to monetize their investments, right?
Yeah, I can't speak for them. I can only say what they have publicly announced, that they will remain invested in CTOS.
On that note, thank you for your time today on The Breakfast Grill. Was Eric Hamburger, Group CEO of CTOS Digital Berhad. I'm Wong Shaoning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, where unlimited potential begins.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.